Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 269 of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here with Sarah Powers. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
I am well, and I was just thinking to myself the other day, gosh, I kind of miss doing More Than Moms. We haven't done any More Than Mom episodes because, you know, hello, COVID.
Yeah.
We did a pandemic perspective series that kind of took that spot, and now it's summer, and you're moving, and life, you know, it's summer life, right? But we still love talking about fluffy topics, and we thought listeners could maybe use a break from some of the heavier stuff in their lives right now. So we're going to talk about makeup.
I love this. I am really excited about this conversation. You know, longtime listeners will remember the More Than Mom kind of sub-series started just on regular Tuesdays. Like once a month, we'd just say, let's talk about something that's not parenting related, maybe fashion or pop culture. And then that morphed into, you know, a couple Sundays a month as its separate thing. So we're just evolving. It'll probably evolve back to its own Sunday series at some point.
But yeah.
There's no one who's going to stop us from talking about a fluffy topic like makeup on a Tuesday.
You can't stop us. You can't stop us even if you try. And the funny thing is, Sarah, I had completely forgotten that.
Yeah.
Like not only would long-term listeners might not remember, but one of the co-hosts of the show might not remember. I forgot that had been a Tuesday thing. So yeah, that's really fun. So we're bringing it back on a Tuesday. And I love also that we've talked about hair products and skincare, and we've kind of danced around makeup. Like I know we've had a few conversations in the past where we've touched on mascaras and a couple things like that, but we've never just done a deep dive into like our makeup history and routines and all that. So in the first half of the show, we're going to be talking about how we've used makeup through our lives. And in the second half, we're going to dig into more specific products and applications and kind of how it looks now. And I'm just really excited about that.
Me too.
So let's start with a few, I don't know, questions just to kind of set the stage. We're going to go way back in the Wayback Machine.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me, Sarah, how old you were when you started using makeup and what that was like.
Okay. Well, the memory that came to mind, I was very young. I know the house I lived in, and I think I was only in first and second grade in that house. So I was 7 or 8 years old, and I was at my neighbor's down the street, and we got into her mom's makeup. And I have this memory of being, and it was a carpeted bathroom, which you don't see those very often
anymore.
Those were
a thing for a while.
So it was a carpeted bathroom. And I remember digging through stuff in her drawers and her under sink cabinets. And I remember spilling, and I'm pretty sure it was makeup we spilled and not nail polish or something else. Cause I remember that I think we had eyeshadows out and things like that and into the carpet. And so my memory is actually less about, I think we were going to try the makeup on ourselves and play with it. But my memory is more about being so worried that we were going to get in so much trouble. And we were so little. We weren't old enough to like know how to clean a carpet or even to cover our tracks very well. And so that is my first actual memory. And then another like foundational memory, is being around 11 and starting to be really into dance and starting to perform more. And I was in a Christmas show, a sort of send up of the Nutcracker, like a comedic Nutcracker. And I was in the show with a lot of older teenagers and even young adults and professional dancers. And I remember kind of learning to do stage makeup in a dressing room setting. And I'll revisit this throughout this episode, but that, you know, performing on stage and doing stage makeup for dance was really like intermingled with how I learned to use makeup for everyday use. And so I know I was 11 in that particular, you know, Christmas or whatever. And so it was just kind of that perfect tween age to be like, okay, I'm going to learn to do this. But it was more in the context of stage makeup. And I wasn't wearing it myself in everyday life yet. So how about you?
Well, kind of you're talking jogged some memories for me. So I was in a fashion show for my mom's friend owned a bridal store, and I was in a fashion show when I was probably 7 or 8. And I think that was the first time I had like a full face of makeup that someone else put on me. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting and like feeling how grown up that felt to have that, like, a, you know, when you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't recognize what you look like, and it felt very glamorous. And I also forgot to wear my shoes when I came out on the runway. So it was just like, I looked at the pictures later and it was like me in like, you know, white tights and
no shoes.
But that was really fun. And I have a sister who's 10 years older. So I know that there was playing happening. Like I know that I must have gotten into her makeup at some point. I just don't really remember it. My first real makeup memory about me owning my own, though, is when Catherine, my sister, took me to the store. She took me to Woolworths, which I don't even know if those exist anymore. And she bought me frosty, like champagne colored lip gloss, like practically white.
Uh-huh.
And the kind that goes on really goopy, uh-huh. you know, and with a little sponge and some clear mascara. And I think I was going into the seventh grade. So okay. I was 11 and I was very young for my grade. So like, I didn't know anything about makeup and I already felt like a little kid. Right. So like that was awesome. I remember feeling very grown up. I also remember feeling like there was something not quite right about the frosty white lips with my pasty skin and my blonde eyelashes. And remember we've talked about before those binders they used to have with like the color palettes for skin.
Uh-huh.
And they would you'd be like a winter or an autumn. I'm pretty sure the girl who was spring was wearing like a frosty, like really light colored lip gloss. And I remember looking at her and looking in the mirror and thinking like, this just doesn't work for me. Like she had like, her skin was just different than mine and it looked really cool on her in that kind of 70s way. Yes. And it looked awful on me. Yes. So, but it was very in at the time. And I think my sister was purposely not getting me anything too bright or that was like, you know, she wanted something kind of age appropriate. Yeah. So that was my,
That's really cute.
Yeah, I know. I have kind of fond memories about picking it out and everything else.
I love it.
And using it. And like, you know, the clear mascara doesn't really do anything when you have blonde eyelashes.
No.
So, I mean, it was basically just like playing. So, well, what about after that? Did you start using makeup regularly after you had that first experience? Or did you use it at home on weekends? Did you play with it? Like, what was that like for you? And I guess I'll go first on this. I do remember playing with my mom's stash of Avon and Mary Kay cosmetics as I got older. So like probably into seventh grade, eighth grade. And now looking back, I'm like, they were ancient. My mom was a saver. She never got rid of anything. But she also was a makeup minimalist. So I know she wasn't using any. She might have used it like in the 60s or 70s and then she stopped, but she didn't get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So like some things that come to mind, there's Coty brand, COTY, makes that airspun loose powder. And I don't think the container has ever changed. It's like looked the same since the 30s. It's got like it's like the container has little gold flowers all over it.
Okay.
It looks kind of vintagey. And it had this smell that I will never forget. And you could still buy it now, but like the puff was completely falling apart. That stuff had to be like at least 10 years old. And she had these old Avon powder eyeliners where you would like dip a little brush in water.
Ooh.
And then dip it in the powder and then apply it on your lash line. So it wasn't really like you couldn't use
it. Face paint.
Yeah. Well, and you wouldn't use it the way like I would use a stick of eyeliner where I'd put it on my, what do you call that? Like lid line or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It would kind of go on top of your eyelashes. So that had to have been from like the late 60s or early 70s. Just thinking about the colors, they were totally like the old Barbie dolls that had the makeup pre-painted, like they were that color blue.
Oh my gosh.
And then this would have been the late 80s. So those were very old. And I think about all the bacteria I applied on my face.
And you turned out okay. That's the wonderful
part. And I never
went
blind.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
What about you?
Well, so I remember one summer and I'm racking my brain to think if it was the summer of 1990 or 91, but I was pretty young. That puts me at 10 or 11. So not even in junior high yet, still fifth, sixth grade. And I remember going to the drugstore and getting a bunch of Wet n Wild, the frosty blue, two-tone frosty blue eyeshadow and some lipsticks. And I kind of remember aspiring to wear it every day. I think I was reading magazines by then. And like, I was like really wanting to like, now I am going to be this person who wears makeup. But the funny thing is, I just wasn't there yet. And it was summertime. And so I was with my family on vacation and I was like, yeah, I wear makeup now, but I really didn't. And so
you really did.
I kind of lost interest in like the practical act of continuing to put on makeup every day, but I remember wanting to. And then just makeup continued in those tween years to just be a regular part of performing. So I had my caboodle, which by the way, you can buy the same caboodles. I got them for my girls for Christmas and they look and smell and operate exactly the same, which is amazing. But I had my caboodle full of stage makeup. And, you know, even by age 11 or so, I had my stash and I had my techniques and I was learning how to use it. So I was always kind of comfortable with makeup, but I definitely wasn't wearing it all the time yet at that stage.
I just, when you were talking about the icy blue, the two-tone and, you know, with the shadow side by side, it made me think of an ad for probably CoverGirl. I'm just, or Maybelline maybe, that I saw in a magazine when I was probably 11. And it was like these four super bright colors, like a lime green, a pink. So probably was like 90, mm-hmm. would be my guess, right? It was like lime green, pink, bright blue, and something like yellow, like some color who would ever put this on their eye. And then the ad was a girl with her eyes closed and it was like color blocks painted on her lids. And I remember thinking it was so amazing. And I aspired to be able to do my makeup like that. I mean, it just makes me laugh. If I thought like frosty lip gloss didn't look good on my pale, you know, skin, that would have looked awful. I'm really glad I never actually bought it or had the wherewithal to try to do that.
It makes you realize the power that magazine reading and ads had over us. Because, and I don't know that, I mean, now it would just be Instagram, right? Or YouTube. Yeah, like, I don't think, I mean, you and I both, I'm sure, I have so many memories tied to very specific magazine ads, clothing. I could just tell you exactly what it looked like. Anyway, that was a sidebar.
Yeah. Well, it just, the makeup advertising game was very strong in the 80s and 90s in particular. And I remember it like it's like in my, you know, my jeans now. So when were you allowed to start wearing makeup to school? And did you ever sneak it or push the limits or try to get away with something?
So that's, you go first. That's interesting because my parents were not very strict in this regard. And I was never pushing the limits in terms of trying to look or act a lot older. I looked very young for my age. And I think I just mostly, I dressed on par with my age, not super younger, but not way older. So if I had maybe been more experimental, maybe they would have put some guidelines in place, but they really didn't. So I don't actually remember not being allowed to wear it to school. I think there might have been a school rule against makeup in elementary school, which for us went through sixth grade. And I vaguely remember maybe some girls, like, they tried to wear lipstick or mascara to school, and it was more of a school rule, which probably was good. That kind of like took it off of the parents, you know, having to enforce that. But by seventh grade, I went to a very big junior high. This is like 1992. There was a lot of makeup going on in seventh and eighth grade, like all around me. I saw just a lot of makeup, a lot of girls wearing a lot of makeup. And I think that is when I started wearing makeup regularly to school. But for me, it was mostly mascara, maybe a little eyeshadow. I do have one memory of my seventh grade friend telling me I was putting on too much mascara, which is so funny because I still prefer to have a lot of mascara on, and kind of like she was trying to do it without hurting my feelings and like be really tactful about it. And I still was sort of mortified. what I was wearing to school every day in seventh grade would have been still pretty minimal in comparison to, you know, some girls at the school. But I think that is when I started wearing it.
So like you, I don't really remember when I was allowed to start. I also was always very young for my age, acted young, looked young. And I just don't think, like, I definitely was not one who tried to get ahead of myself in that way. So I think my mom kind of left it up to me, although she did have, like, she would tell me if my makeup was like too dark or whatever. But I do remember it was very dark in the morning when I was getting ready before junior high. So I would have started in like seventh grade. And a few times I went to the bathroom right before leaving for school and put on like really bright lipstick or terrible eye makeup. And then did you ever learn that lesson that, like, once you start trying to fix a bad makeup job, it just gets worse.
Yes.
And then you have to just take it off and start over. But sometimes you don't figure that out right away. And I missed the bus that way a couple of times. So I definitely think there were times I rushed out the door with makeup that my mom wouldn't have approved if she'd really seen me like in the full light. But I also kind of learned a lesson, right? Like, I learned it wasn't really worth the effort to go that all in. And that sentiment has lasted the ensuing three decades. I still am not heavy makeup wearer. And I know that my mom noticed a couple times when I came home after having like a really bad makeup job. And later she told me she purposely didn't say anything because the punishment had already happened. Like, I'd already punished myself with such a bad makeup job. But Sarah, I also had a friend tell me I was wearing too much makeup. And this was a younger friend. She was still in elementary school when I was in seventh grade. And I remember feeling so stupid. She made a comment like, another friend had pointed out that I was suddenly wearing really bright lipstick all the time. Oh. And I remember the sort of implication being that I was trying to act older.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and I remember just being mortified by that.
That's so,
so
funny.
I wonder how many of us have some kind of story about our friends, helpfully or not so helpfully.
Yeah.
Telling us we should tone down the
makeup.
Tone it
down.
Tone it down.
Especially,
lady.
I think both of us looked, you know, 9 when we were 12, right.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. Yeah. Okay. So let's take a break. And then when we get back, we'll talk more about how our makeup routines have changed over time and the products have changed over time. Really excited to dig in on that. Sarah, I know we have a whole lot of pregnant listeners right now, and it occurred to me how different it must be to get ready for a baby this year. Don't you remember like walking the aisles of the baby stores and sitting in all the rockers and touching all the products and just getting so excited?
Oh my gosh, yes. I have such memories of that. That was the best. Well, I got to actually touch and feel a crib mattress from our new sponsor, Newton Baby, recently, and it brought me right back to those days. Only this mattress would have put the one I had to shame because it's the first completely washable crib mattress on the market. Like, you can wash the entire thing. I don't need to tell you how many gross things happen in a baby's crib, right, Megan? This is amazing.
That is amazing. Yes, I remember doing a lot of spot cleaning.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. Well, the Newton Baby crib mattress is also 100% breathable, which means no more sweaty little bodies and lots of peace of mind for mom and dad. Sarah, I was checking out the reviews on Amazon and people love this mattress. Newton Baby had some independent tests done and found that a baby gets 97% more air while breathing through a Newton crib mattress than on a traditional crib mattress.
That does not surprise me because when I felt the mattress and kind of, you know, stuck my face in it, you can actually breathe right through the material. And the fact that it's completely washable means you could pass this down through several kids and feel like it's new every time. I love that.
Newton Baby is offering our listeners $50 off a Newton crib mattress so that you can try the hashtag Breathe to Believe challenge. And with their 100-night sleep guarantee, you have nothing to lose because they offer free returns if you're not totally thrilled. Just use the promo code THEMOMHOUR when you check out at NewtonBaby.com. Again, that's NewtonBaby, NewtonBaby.com, and enter code THEMOMHOUR to get $50 off today.
So, Megan, I am in the middle of moving, which you know means I need to come up with lots of hacks for keeping my kids occupied so I can deal with like 100 million details. I think I will be heavily employing your tactic of sending the kids outside with a frozen treat to keep them occupied for a bit so that the house is quiet and I can think.
Yes, I fully support this idea, Sarah. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And luckily, Breyers Carb Smart Bars from our sponsor, Breyers Ice Cream, are the perfect way to encourage your kids to get out of your hair for a bit while you do your thing. Even if your family isn't necessarily following a low-carb lifestyle, Breyers Carb Smart Bars are just the right size for a quick treat. They're low in sugar and have no more than 150 calories per serving. Many have much less. So you don't have to worry about ruining dinner, even if you give them to the kids, say, I don't know, 25 minutes before dinner. Not that I would know anything about that. Breyers Carb Smart also comes in tubs if you just want to attack it with a spoon by yourself while the kids are outside. And the flavors are really good. My favorite are the fudge bars, but I'm going to try the chocolate in the tub next.
Yes, they taste great. And I love having these treats in my parenting arsenal. Breyers Carb Smart is available pretty much anywhere you shop for groceries, or you can also go to Breyers.com/themomhour to get a coupon to try it out. Again, head to Breyers.com/themomhour and grab a coupon to try Breyers Carb Smart.
Okay, so Sarah, we kind of hinted at this a little bit in the beginning here, but I'm wondering if there was any products or trends or applications you look back on now from your youth and just cringe. And this doesn't have to be ones that you did yourself, just when you think back.
Right.
I'll go first. I mean, most of them are awful out of context, right? Like if you're not in that time, all the sort of trends and the way those trends are expressed through whatever marketing means that you're getting them are usually terrible. So two that come to mind were the super frosty eyeshadows of the mid-late 80s. Like that was, you know, that's obvious. And that's where I got my start.
Yeah.
But the other would be that really matte look in the 90s where like everything was just flat and neutral. Mm-hmm. And then your lips were like that maroon or raisin or brown. And then later in the 90s, like the over tweezed eyebrows and the lip liner that was a totally different color than the center of your lips. I definitely dabbled in those looks, except for the eyebrows. I just didn't really ever tweeze my eyebrows. I don't have much to lose there. But I am very glad to say that when I look back at photos now, it doesn't look like I ever went super all in on those trends. At least that didn't get represented in like my school pictures or anything like that.
Right. It's funny you mentioned those 90s looks because we're watching Friends right now with Allegra and we're kind of watching it pretty much all the way through, which, you know, of course I've seen Friends a million times, but watching it all the way through, especially in the first, I think it started in 94. So 94, 95, 96, like in those years, and just seeing, oh my gosh, the makeup and hair, because yeah, exactly what you're saying. The raisin and maroon lips and the very powdered face.
Yes.
Yeah, all of that. Well, I was kind of the same in that I think whatever trends I was noticing in the magazines and kind of aware of around me, whatever I put on my face was probably a little bit of a toned down. So I'm the same. When I look back at pictures, I see it. I see the influence of the time, but not super extreme. I do remember that there was a lot of shimmer and sparkle later. Now, you've talked about the mid-90s, but I'm thinking of like 99, 2000 maybe, or maybe even the early aughts. But
I think it went a little later than that.
I think because I
remember that look when I was like in my mid-20s.
Right.
And like early to mid, yeah.
And you were like having babies by this point, but I was in college, and I remember this silver... this tiny little silver compact, you'd unscrew the top and it was loose inside, loose, very fine silver glitter. And I'm laughing because now there's all this highlighting and contouring, right? And there's definitely shimmer that people use now in different ways. But this was like, I don't even know where I put it. I put it on my eyelids. I think I put it like in my cleavage sometimes. Like
yes,
it was
put on your shoulders.
Dust. Yeah. Yes, it was like fairy dust. So that makes me feel slightly cringy that I was just like fairy dusting myself all over. Yes to the over-tweezed eyebrows and then over-powdered face. For me, like, I don't know if I wasn't good at matching my skin tone to a face powder, or I think what I thought is if I just put a bunch of very light matte powder on my face, it will cover up my acne, which is really a terrible... That's not how concealing works. Like, that's not how color management works. So some of my pictures, especially if there's a flash on the camera, I just look like a ghost. And I think I just didn't know how to apply powder, or I was going a shade too light, or I was using powder in a way that I should have been using almost like foundation or concealer. So that's a little cringy. And the only other trend that came to mind is I loved blue mascara in the, again, early 2000s, probably almost like rave culture, like some of those bright colors. And I don't know that even it was on trend for anyone else. I just really liked it. And I still kind of like the idea of it. I would probably wear blue mascara if I had some, just to mix it up.
So blue mascara is one of those things that, I think it was more of an 80s thing, but it comes back. Like it comes back like every 10 years or so. So I don't know if it's out there now, but I've noticed it kind of cycle.
And so you have light, and you have light eyelashes, and my eyelashes are really blonde at the very tips. So when you have lighter eyelashes, then those colored mascaras can show up, and I just think they're fun.
They look cool. I like them too. I wouldn't say I've spent a lot of time wearing them, but like I do like that look. And I'm just laughing because the shimmer look did, like the whole like putting it all over your face thing did start to fade. But as late as I'm gonna say, like as late as the late aughts, I was still buying shimmery lotions. I remember getting a blog conference I went to in probably 2007 or 8, like getting a compact in my bag that was just glitter. Like it was just like body powder with glitter in it. So that didn't go away. I don't know. Maybe people are still doing that. I don't think so. But that was definitely a thing. Like glittery with a tiny backpack and all that. It's probably all back. Well, let's skip forward to later high school, early young adulthood. So you finally figured out how to use makeup properly. But you're finally like a legit grown up person. What was your routine and how has it changed over the years to what it is now?
Yeah. Well, I think it always started with eye makeup for me. And I think that was the most fun for me to play around with. So what started with just wearing a little bit of mascara kind of evolved into I liked eyeshadow. It was usually neutrals. It wasn't crazy eyeshadow, but I liked eyeshadow and mascara. And if I wasn't going anywhere, I would have some makeup free days, but I would say most days I wore a little bit of eye makeup. I didn't get into lips for a long time. And we can talk about that as we get, as we get older. I think lips look really make a big difference now, but I was often like chapstick on my lips, eyeshadow and mascara on my eyes. You know, with dance, I spent many hours every day in front of mirrors, and there's all kinds of things that does to you. But one of them is your eyes just look more awake if you have a little bit of eye makeup on, and I look very different with mascara and without mascara. So that was kind of my staple. And then if I was going out or, you know, somewhere at night, I'd just probably put a little more eyeshadow on. I didn't start wearing blush or really doing anything to my face until college. And I remember that felt kind of grown up. And then I kind of added blush into the mix from there and daily, you know, in the day, not just at night, too. Powder sometimes, but usually not unless, like I said, unless I was trying to cover up pimples or something or going out at night. And then just a few years ago, I really got more into the like tinted moisturizers and BB creams, because before then foundation for me had been really more for like stage makeup. I didn't put foundation on my face unless I was performing for, you know, all the way through my 20s probably. And then the like discovering tinted moisturizers and that you can have something a little lighter, but that still like evens out the tone. That was like a discovery in my 30s, I would say. So there's, it hasn't been like one big change, but there've definitely been like things that have dropped off over the years or things that I've added in. And then the last thing I'll say is I was such an eyeshadow girl for so, so long. And now if I do anything, I tend more toward eyeliners than eyeshadows now. It feels faster to me. It just feels faster and it has the effect that I'm going for, I guess. So.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I would say my routine hasn't changed a ton. In high school, I did use more foundation in high school than I kind of graduated into. And I remember my stepmom, and it's funny to think about that now because it probably wasn't even the right color for me, but she had this foundation I really, really loved. And it had to have been Revlon because it was in a red tub.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of their signature thing. And it was like whipped. Like I just remember it went on like this light, like whippy feeling, like whipped cream or something. And more like a whipped cream cheese, but it was like nice and light and I really liked it. And then I could never find it again. So I just stopped using it. I never really liked liquid foundation. I never thought it looked right on my skin. It would kind of flatten out my freckles, which I always thought was a little weird. And as a pale person with freckles and ruddiness in my skin, it's really hard to find a foundation that works. Like it,
yeah.
You're not really going for like a one, you don't want a monochromatic look. So I really didn't use foundation at all for probably 2 decades, like at all, ever. I never bought it. I never had it. I would just use powder. And that really worked. I do have melasma now. Like, so I have some sunspots on my cheeks and sometimes I'll use concealer on that. And I am getting into more like light foundations, tinted moisturizers, BB creams, things like that. I've kind of played with those over the last few years, but I would still say most days I do not have a proper foundation on my face. A lot of companies now make primers, which I like. Like I'll use those without makeup. You're supposed to use those under your makeup. Sometimes I just use the primer and then put powder over it. It just kind of evens everything out. But like there are many, many, many days that I have nothing on my face besides powder. Blush is interesting because of the ruddiness of my cheeks. Like sometimes especially the older I get, I've talked about the life draining out of your face before and cheeks and lips are where it goes first. So sometimes I can notice a really big difference if I just use a touch of blush, but then if you use too much, it looks so weird. And I really like a liquidy blush, but those are hard to find in the right color. So like right now I'm not really using blush unless I feel really, like I look really tired, but I really hate it when you can see the powder, like where you can see where it went on.
I think I'm going to have product recommendation for you, but I'm going to save it for the second half of the show.
Okay. Well, and there's also those bronzers that like come in the powder ones have never worked for me, but sometimes the ones that are liquidy, like I can use just a tiny little bit and I don't use it to make my whole face look brown. I use it to like highlight my cheekbones, but it's like a fun thing to play with. It's not something I do all the time. Mm-hmm. So I would say every single day, my usual routine is powder for sure. Shape my eyebrows with a brush. Sometimes a light eyeshadow, because now I have this weird like freckle or age spot or something on my eyelid that I'm a little self-conscious about. So even if I don't use eyeshadow, I will put powder on it. And then eyeliner on really special occasions. And I do it where like I lift up the top lid and go under the top lid.
Oh, that makes me like, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebies. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
So it takes a steady hand and a little more precision. But when you do it, it just opens up your eyes.
Yeah, I've done it before too. I just haven't in years. I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that. I don't do it very often, but every now and then. And then, especially because I have contacts and then like, I will find by the end of the night, my contacts are looking like getting like little chunks of eyeliner in them. It's very strange. And I often use like a light lip gloss when I'm going out, very occasionally a bright lipstick. So my going out routine is a little bit like more than my everyday routine, but neither one of them are really all that.
Yeah.
I don't know, all that crazy. And I think because I started having kids in the late 90s, I lost track of makeup trends. So I never really, like, I've changed it up a little tiny bit, colors and things, but my routine has not changed very much over the last 22 plus years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a fun one, and I'll go first on this one. The question is, do you remember discovering a technique or a product that just blew your mind? And two that I can think of. When I was about 17, I discovered the face-changing magic of shaping your brows. Mm. So I don't have a lot of eyebrows. They're blonde. I've never plucked my eyebrows or waxed or anything in my lives, and I rarely fill them in or augment them at all. But I think I just picked up, I remember sitting at my stepmom's vanity, and she had like a lot of different makeup brushes, and I picked up the eyebrow one, and I'd always been like, what is this thing for? And I just decided to play with my eyebrows, and I brushed them into an arch, and I was like, what? Like, it made such a difference. It made my eyes look bigger. It made like everything look more symmetrical. And so that is something I do every single day. Even if I don't have one of those with me, I will use my pinkies. Like, I will like really hard push my eyebrows up and out. And you know, now the wider eyebrows are in, so I find myself kind of going a little more flat and mm-hmm. making them look a little more like that. It makes a huge difference. And then the second thing, in my early 20s, I discovered something called Prescriptives Magic Liquid Powder. So it was a loose powder, but it like went on wet.
Oh.
It almost like, you know, that stuff that you can make with like baking soda. I can't think of the name of it, but you make it for your kids.
Oobleck.
Yes. Yeah. It felt like oobleck.
Yes.
That's the only way I could describe it. It looks dry, but it felt wet.
Uh-huh.
And it had the effect of mineral makeup or like a CC cream before those were very widely available. And this was my first foray into a more expensive department store brand. And I loved how it made my skin look. And I used it religiously for years. And I really couldn't afford it. And I actually wonder what it would look like on me now. And I'm thinking probably not as good. And we'll get more into stuff that we've ditched later. But there's something to that shiny, shimmery, minerally look that mm-hmm. I think looks great on 20 and early 30-year-old skin, and then worse and worse
as you go on. Was the purpose of this one to even out? Was it shimmer? What was the overall?
It was to even out, but it had like that. It had that reflective look.
Okay.
Like not exactly. It wasn't sparkly. It was shimmery like a mineral makeup is, where uh-huh. it evens everything. It almost makes you look like you're wearing a filter.
Uh-huh. Okay.
On your face.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that was, you know, the early 2000s. So that was like kind of early on that trend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You? Well, so one thing that keeps coming up is learning to do stage makeup, which I found so fun. It was like being in an art class, and I had a few different times through dance, we would do like a makeup day, like a makeup workshop. And I know dance studios do this now too, but they would teach us how to do stage makeup. And if I ever went to like a dance camp or summer intensive, there would always be some kind of like actual makeup class that I always found super fascinating. And so in those, you were learning a lot of the same techniques that, you know, you use, like things about, I just remember like darker eyeshadow in the crease, but then lighter below the brow, and then darken mm-hmm. your brows. And this kind of like the, not science is the wrong word, but the way that light works with makeup. And so that was always really fun and interesting to me. And so I guess the discovery there was that like, once I understood those things, I found it fun to try to like then apply those same, you know, techniques to everyday makeup.
Yep.
So a lot of dark brown eyeshadow in the crease with something lighter at the base and then a darker liner, and like feeling very strategic about how those colors were layered.
Right.
A product that I just remember being blown away by was the Clinique Black Honey. It's called Almost Lipstick. It's kind of like between a gloss and a lipstick. And the funny thing is, it's still available and everyone was wearing it. I felt like I had found like my signature color, and it felt very grown up, and it was Clinique, so it was a little bit more expensive. And now it's like, it was the color of, I don't know, whether this is 93, 94, maybe somewhere in there. And so I do remember just feeling like that was like my lipstick. So that one comes to mind. I think I mentioned that one a long time ago in a More Than Mom episode. And
I think you did too.
People came out of the woodwork to talk about Black Honey, and it is still available. I don't know if it's formulated exactly the same, but you can find it on Clinique's website. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love those Blast from the Past colors. And part of me has always wanted to go back and find or wonder if they still make Vamp. Mm-hmm. It was so big in the 90s that like dark raisin, it was almost black, mm-hmm. but it was like a dark, dark, dark maroon burgundy. Mm-hmm. And I think that was just nail polish. I don't think that was a lipstick, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
So
remember Hard Candy. So, now we're getting into nail polish.
Yes, Hard Candy. Yes. And I remember also in college, Jenna and I would mix our own nail polishes. We would just buy all the colors we could find.
Yeah.
And then we'd buy white and black and then we would mix and like have our own little palettes. That was fun.
That's amazing.
I remember having all that time on your hands mm-hmm. to just play with nail
color.
Polish. Good times. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break. And then when we get back, we can talk about the products and techniques that we use now. So, Sarah, you know that I'm a bit gingery with the fair skin and the freckles, but I also really like an outdoorsy lifestyle with lots of time by the pool, at the beach, kayaking, hiking, and just being out walking around. So that means being really intentional about protecting my skin and caring for it in general. And that is why I'm so glad we were introduced to our sponsor, Dermatology. That's Dermatlgy, no vowels. They make real grown-up skincare so easy, starting with the SPF 45 sunscreen moisturizer that you and I are both so addicted to.
Oh, yes. You know I love that sunscreen, too. I am wearing it right now. We don't have to cram quite as much outdoor fun into the summer here in California, but I'm outside pretty much every day year-round. Plus, I'm just getting older, and I know we've both talked about how our skincare needs have changed over the years. It's great to have medical-grade skincare products with pure, safe, clinically proven ingredients right on my bathroom counter. And I also love that Dermatology has made it super easy to get started with what we like to call grown-up skincare by putting together a special starter package just for our listeners.
Yeah, you're definitely going to want to check out the special offer because not only does it make caring for your skin a total no-brainer, but they're offering an amazing deal on really high-quality products that you'd usually spend a lot more on. The bundle comes with a cleanser, a serum, that sunscreen we love, and a retinol complex, and they're all designed to be used together. Dermatology has marked that package all the way down to $99 with free shipping. It's usually $175, so like, wow.
That is such a good deal on some amazing products that we've both been loving. Head to themomhour.com/skincare, and it's super easy to order the bundle right from there. Again, themomhour.com/skincare will take you right to Dermatology's special offer for our listeners. Check it out. We are welcoming a new partner to the podcast today, and I am really excited about this. I've talked about my sweet little Reed, who has struggled during this stay-at-home period with boredom and some anxiety, and I've realized that he just needs some things on the calendar that are scheduled and structured and that he can look forward to. So we found Codeverse, which provides weekly computer coding and video game design lessons using their kid-friendly coding platform. Reed has a video tutoring session with an actual instructor one-on-one once a week, and then he gets to use the platform for coding games and activities in between sessions.
Oh, that is so great. My boys would have loved this when they were younger because one of the things I've enjoyed about having video game loving kids is seeing it drive their interest in computer science at various times. I think there's probably a lot of kids out there thinking about creating their own apps and games these days, and this would be really cool.
So Codeverse is geared for kids ages 6 to 13, and kids can have zero coding experience or be experienced coders. When you sign up, you'll get weekly one-on-one lessons with a guide, and Reed has loved these sessions. Plus, you get coding activities shipped to your house, access to a whole library of videos and tutorials, and then full access to their kid-friendly coding platform where your kids can do as much as they want to on their own time.
Use our special link when you sign up for Codeverse, and you'll save $50 on your first month. That's a great deal. They offer a free trial lesson to everybody, so there's no risk if you just want to sign your kid up for a coding lesson and see how they like it. Again, use our special link at themomhour.com/codeverse to get started with a free trial and save $50 off your first month with that link or by using code themomhour-50 at checkout. Okay, so we're going to dig into products and techniques. So Sarah, I am curious, are you still using any of the same, and I mean like same brand, same formula, stuff that you used as a high schooler or a young 20-something?
For high school, I don't think so. I do think I'm using a couple things that I discovered when I was maybe 24 or 25. To me, that feels like adult life. I got married at 25 and it doesn't feel quite like the same as those olden days we were talking about. So I think I've evolved out of most of the original products. But like I said, there's several that have been in the rotation for 10 or 15 years in my adult life. There's the L'Oreal pressed powder that I think you and I both have. I always end up with yours and it's too pale for me. I don't wear it.
That's
all the
round, the round one, like in the little gray or something yes.
So that one, if I wear a powder, that one's been in the rotation forever. I used Maybelline Lash Discovery mascara. It's a skinny silver tube for from college. So from college until like 5 years ago. And so that one stayed with me forever and I swore by it, but I switched. I now like L'Oreal Voluminous. Those are both drugstore brands. I actually tried a quite expensive non-drugstore brand mascara recently and I went back to L'Oreal. So I was like, okay. I was like, there's gotta be something here that I'm like not getting by, you know, not using this very famous brand. And no, I went back to L'Oreal. And so, yeah, there's not a lot left over from those days. About a year ago, I went into Sephora with Allegra and we actually bought a bunch of the Nude Sticks brand. Are you familiar with that brand?
No.
It's all, none of it is liquid. So they market it as it's really, it travels really well because it's not liquid or powder. So it doesn't spill. It doesn't count against your liquid, you know, 3 ounces on an airplane.
Right.
And the powders don't get all smushed up. So almost all the products are they apply like a stick or a pencil or a crayon. So they're all that kind of, what would you call that consistency? Like a soft, you know, a soft
like
solid.
Like a cream.
Mm-hmm. Like a soft solid that rolls on or, you know, paints on. So that's very different than what I was using in high school and early 20s. So I think I've mostly evolved, but gradually.
Okay. So for me, I had forgotten that round powder with the clear top is L'Oreal. So I switch back and forth between pressed powder. It's always a drugstore brand. I switch between CoverGirl, which is the, it's like the flatter compact. It used to be brown. I don't know if it still is or not. It's like, it still smells like it did back in the day. Mm-hmm. I have one that's like something fit. I think that's Maybelline. It's in a square container. And I have also used the L'Oreal. The problem that I have with pressed powder, and we'll get into this a little bit later when we talk about maybe changing up some of these routines, is that I find that they often, the containers break, especially those clear plastic lids or the powder inside breaks. And I don't know if that's a, like a drugstore brand thing or if it's just because I'm hard on stuff. Like I drop my purse on the ground or whatever and stuff is breaking. So I don't know. I used Maybelline Great Lash for years and years. I also use the Lash Discovery that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And again, I've never been super brand or formula loyal for very long with mascaras, but I do really like our shared L'Oreal Voluminous. Mm-hmm. I've stuck with that for a few years now. And then I guess like everything else, I've been so sort of brand agnostic. It's hard to even say. Like I was never so loyal to enough things for long enough that I could look back at, you know, when I was 25 and say, oh yeah, I'm still using that thing. But the funny thing is I probably still am. It's just that I'm rotating and cycling through different, like I probably bought back and forth between L'Oreal, Revlon, Maybelline and CoverGirl. And I just keep skipping around.
Yeah.
And so eventually I do cycle back to the same stuff.
Yeah.
And my exposure to higher end cosmetics has usually been like event based. So like I go to, for some reason I end up at a makeup, like a makeover thing at a conference or something. And I'm like, oh, I like this. I'll buy it. Or I get something in a FabFitFun box or something. And I'm like, oh, I like this. So that's happened a few times. And every now and then I'll think, wow, I really want to add this into the rotation. I'm just not really in a good routine with going into like Sephora or Ulta to do that kind of shopping. So it kind of just doesn't happen.
No, I feel the same way. And the fact that I did that about a year ago was probably the first time in 20 years that I had ever talked to a professional about makeup products. So if I only do that every 20 years, then it's going to be a pretty slow evolution. And like you said, kind of, you know, volleying back and forth between a few trusted brands that are available everywhere. And I know we're not talking about skincare today. We're talking about makeup, but it's very different the way my skincare has evolved versus my makeup. And maybe makeup is next, but I definitely feel like I think about face and skincare products differently in the last 5 years than I did, you know, previous to that. But makeup feels kind of the same. So I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. My skincare has definitely been elevated and my approach to it. And makeup is still like the thing that I feel like if I put it on healthy skin, I don't really need a lot of it. So I don't really care that much what it is, which maybe I'll change my mind on that because I'm sure there are products that could make a big difference. And the other thing that I was thinking about, when we were talking about, you know, trying new brands and things is I am in CVS or Walgreens all the time. I don't go in malls anymore. Right. When I was in my late 20s and early 30s, I think I was just spending more time like at the mall. Mm-hmm. And then you're exposed to those department store brands, which isn't the same, or like a Sephora, you know, you wander into Sephora. I don't do that. like even pre-COVID, I don't remember the last time I just wandered around a mall. So like, I'm just not exposed in the same way.
Yeah. And it might just be a personal interest thing too, because I have lived in places where, you know, retail is everywhere and I have every possible mall and store available to me. And I still think it never occurs to me, or I'm just not interested in walking into a Sephora very often. I'd rather walk into a clothing store usually. So I don't know. Having been had plenty of access to malls over the last 10, 15 years, I can't say that I've shown any more interest in browsing makeup. So it might just be my personality or something.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes you go in and out of phases of that. Like I used to really be into that. And in fact, when I used to have a Target, and a good Target, there were like, remember, you know how at Target, because you still have one, there's like the regular line, the place where you could get the same stuff you get at CVS. And then there's like the more elevated lines.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they have like their own. I do think that it's kind of fun to wander down there and look. It's just that I don't really know what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And I don't know the brands well enough. So yeah, maybe eventually I'll decide to shake things up and have fun with it again. But I think when it stopped being fun for me to take my kids to the store is when I stopped shopping for sport.
Yeah.
And I just never really got back into
it.
So not that that's a bad thing. Okay. So are there any products, and I'm thinking more like formulations and types of products that we just don't think that have stood the test of time for us, that we've let go of? And you go first on this one.
Okay. Well, I kind of mentioned that eyeshadow was such a part of my makeup routine. I mean, getting a new palette and combining colors, and a lot of it was neutrals because we're talking about the 90s and early 2000s, but I cared a lot about those eyeshadow palettes, and it's just sort of drifted off for whatever reason that I just don't. I'll put eyeshadow on for fun sometimes, but it's not a staple for me anymore. Traditional lipsticks in a tube have kind of gone by the wayside too. I mean, I always had one or two colors that I liked, even if I didn't wear them all the time. You know, I had them and I liked them. But now I just really prefer glosses or some kind of like more like a crayon pencil type of thing that goes on like a lipstick, but it's not in the traditional tube. So maybe that's just the delivery method. It feels like it has changed. Even that fun lip palette we got in FabFitFun a few years ago was like the kind you paint on. And that was fun. So I feel like tubes of lipstick don't feel like they're a thing in my life anymore.
Well, what's funny about that is I was looking for a tube of lip gloss just the other day and couldn't find one. And I remember they used to be everywhere. Like buy like a really light color, right? Mm-hmm. And a little bit of shine. And that's kind of what I like, and especially in the summer on my lips. Could not find a single one that comes in a tube. All I could find was the kind that screws out with a little wand. And I don't like those as much. I feel like they go on goopier, and I don't like the, like it feels like more of a to-do.
Yeah.
To put them on, whereas the other one kind of just goes on like a chapstick. So I ended up buying a couple tinted lip balms because I could not find. And so, there was one that was around forever and I couldn't find it.
My problem with the kind you're talking about that comes out in the tube is I always squeeze out, like it feels like too much comes out. Because you're talking about the kind.
Oh, no. I don't mean that kind. I don't mean like the squeezable tube. You screw it out. Like it comes. It's almost like a lipstick, but it's in the shape like a lip gloss. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking
Got
about.
Got it. Okay.
I agree with those. I like the look of them a lot. They're very, they tend to be kind of sticky and they, so, which is like kind of a sensory weird thing, but I like the way they look. I never buy those either. Cause same thing. I'll goop it and a bunch comes out.
Yeah. That's what I thought you were talking
about.
Makes
a mess
about.
In my purse. They kind of melt sometimes. So anyway, it's just really weird. There was one brand in particular that I know I used for years and I really liked it. And it was in this like clear, it had a clear top and it was kind of on the longer side, kind of a fat tube. And I thought it was Revlon or L'Oreal, but, or maybe, well, who knows, CoverGirl maybe, but I wandered up and down the aisles and could not find it. So maybe it's just not on trend right now.
Maybe.
So for things that I don't use anymore that I've kind of kicked to the curb, that would be anything with too much shimmer and shine in it.
No fairy dust.
And no fairy dust. That includes, you know, any kind of frosty eyeshadow, which is still around. Any creams or powders that have too much of that reflective, minerally look. I just noticed in my late 30s, and I know there are people, I mean, they recommend mineral makeup for anti-aging, but I found that I didn't, like, it didn't make my, it wasn't a net win. It was a net loss because while it might even out my tone, like on my cheeks, around other parts, it would settle into lines and creases. And I felt like it was highlighting stuff I didn't want to highlight. So that could be a technique issue, or maybe I just don't want to spend enough time with makeup to make it work.
Yeah.
I'll still use sometimes like a highlighter on my cheekbones, which are still youthful looking.
Oh, yeah.
But I really limit it. I don't go anywhere outside of that. And I find that frost is not my friend.
Yeah, that makes anymore. Sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, you have such, I mean, you have really beautiful skin and you look way younger than you are. So there's no, I would agree that you probably aren't, you're not benefiting from adding sparkle and shine. Let your inner beauty shine through.
Oh, well, I'm not trying to cover up anything either. Right. That's the other thing. Like, I might use a tad of concealer every now and then, but like, really, I'm really just trying to highlight the areas I want to highlight. So that just kind of was overkill. It's like highlighting everything, you know, it's like too much face going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So along those lines, any products you've added over the years or you're thinking about adding, and I'll answer this one first.
Okay.
I mentioned earlier a primer or a base that I use that often, sometimes by itself, sometimes in addition to a tinted moisturizer. But like in the summer, especially because of the freckle situation, I'm often just spotting if mm-hmm. I need it. You know, because I have a little redness, or like because my cheeks are getting really weird and melasma-y. I'm sure I said that correctly, but I'm not using it all over my face. Also, I find it annoying to switch back and forth between colors. So I know what I like in my palest winter days. I know exactly what color of a tinted moisturizer or a foundation to buy. Mm-hmm. In the summer, I never really know. And it's not summer long enough for me to worry about it. So I just don't really wear it in the summer.
Yeah, makes sense. And
then the other thing is that I'm considering adding a brow gel. Because, you know, we've talked about the eyebrow mm-hmm. game that is in. There's those chunky sculpted brows. And I do think that a more structured eyebrow gives my face like a little more balance and mm-hmm. makes my eyes pop. But I need help to get that look. And for me, brow pencil almost always looks way too drastic unless it's stage makeup. I feel like I'm in character when I use a brow pencil because my eyebrows are so blonde naturally. So I think a gel might be like the good in between.
So does a gel? You? So, okay. I have a question about that though. The gels you're talking about just set your brows, right? There's no color, or is there a color element?
No, you can buy tinted. Oh, you can buy tinted brow gels. So I don't Jenna think was just I'm telling me about one the I, other day, and okay. I've never tried it. But
well, there are other fair maidens fascinated. Like you, so there's got to be. Yes.
There are
a solution.
There's one called Boy Brow that I've heard is that people like.
Okay,
I don't know why it's called that, but.
Okay. My knowledge of a brow gel was like clear. So to kind of keep them in place once you've combed them. So that leads perfectly into something I have added and kind of continue to play around with is definitely brows. I never used brow pencil or any. I did pluck my brows, just the strays, and I would shape them that way. But I didn't add any color or pencil except on stage until that Sephora trip and this discovery of this Nude Stix, STIX brand. And she did, the girl in the store did my brows, and one half is a pencil. It's kind of a slanted pencil, and the other half has a clear gel. So you can kind of do both. And I think for me, it was more learning a little bit of technique so that not to overdo it. And it just, like you said, it just adds a lot to your face. And now if I want a finished look, I do my brows, which I never had done that. So that's new in the last year or so. I'm not doing like in pandemic times, I'm not doing my brows every day. But if I were going somewhere and if I had color on my lips, I would have my brows done. There's something about that balance of like just having that finished look. And I really like it. So that was definitely new to me. And then the same brand, Nude Stix, when she did my face, she did a blush on basically like, you know, the apples of my cheeks, like the cute mm-hmm. round parts when you smile. But then in my cheekbones, she did more contouring with a kind of, I think it's all from the same line. You just get it in different colors. So the blush part is a pinker, kind of a rosier pink. And then the contouring one is more of like a bronzer, and that was all bronzer might even be the wrong word, but like it's more of like a dark tan. So doing that kind of little bit of contouring was also brand new to me. And before COVID, like when I was out in the world more, I was doing those on a pretty regular basis, and they roll up like a chapstick but fat. Does that make sense? Like, so they're, and you can use your fingers or you can use, I got this very firm brush where you actually can brush right onto the stick and then apply it with a brush, but it's not a powder. It's more of this stick. So yeah, I'll link all of those up. And I do think you might like that blush, Megan, because it kind of ticks the boxes you were talking about. You can't see where it went on with a brush. It's you could go as light. You could just dab one finger and just use it really, really lightly if you wanted.
Yes.
And their stuff is good for you too. It's got, it's good ingredients. And so I've been happy. But again, that was my once in two decades foray into right. Sephora. So it's not like I'm comparing that brand to 20 others like a beauty blogger right. would. It's just the one yes. that I've tried. So
I like that. And I will say, like, in general, I have found the older I get, the more cream and liquid based products are almost always better on my skin than something powdery. I think yeah. it just it makes sense. Like yeah. you get dry patches and lines, and powder just doesn't settle
yeah.
quite as nicely. So yeah, that's great. Okay. So are there any new techniques that you've thought about trying but aren't sure about, or maybe techniques you've tried and you were happy with the results?
Well, yeah, the kind of contouring, highlighting, and doing something other than just blush has been new to me, like I was just mentioning. And I feel like it's still an evolving skill set. I think when it's overdone, like the kind of, you know, youthful influencer, like makeup artist look, it's so extreme. And I think that's what makes it hard to translate that to like a 40-year-old mom. But at the same time, when it's done well, like I see why people use, you know, highlighter and bronzer and like, you know, do that whole contouring thing. So I would say I'm like mid discovery process with that.
So that's funny because I think that's what I'm talking about. What I had written down was the ultra blended highlighted YouTube tutorial look. And I think it's amazing what I've watched some of those like sped up videos uh-huh. where you see someone put her face on. And it's amazing. I'm fascinated by how all you young ladies do your makeup. But I'm also like, in the end, sometimes the person putting the makeup on ends up looking like a porcelain doll, sort of. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that would have looked really beautiful on my like 28-year-old skin, but I feel like it would look odd now. And maybe that's just because I'm not a big makeup person. I don't cover my freckles. I don't, there's like yeah. things I just don't do to my skin. And I feel like if I suddenly walked out of the bathroom looking like I just put my face on, I would feel like alien to myself. Yeah,
it wouldn't
so
be
I'm,
you.
I'm curious about it. I'm fascinated by it. I just don't know that it would be me. So it's like one of those things I kind of watch from afar.
Yeah. Well, I will say that yeah. having my makeup done that time a year or so ago, it just gave me the little bit of confidence to start playing around with it. And I definitely don't do it to the extent that I don't feel like myself. So that was helpful. And I also think it's not just a 28-year-old versus a 42-year-old. It's also what looks good on camera in a two-dimensional square and what looks good in person. Because I do think that there is like an Instagram look that looks really good in a photograph, but then when you see people who are made up that way and you're fewer than 6 feet away from them, which someday right. we will be, it can look weird. It's like two different looks. Yeah. And just like we've yeah. been talking about stage makeup, you don't wear stage makeup right. on the street.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of yeah. sense. Well, since you mentioned 6 feet, that's a perfect segue into my last question, which is pandemic makeup. Ugh. How has your makeup game changed, evolved for the better, for the worse? Like, what is it looking like? And you can talk about how it looked at the beginning versus yeah, now. I think that's also interesting now that we're all these months in.
I think I should talk about that because I remember an episode we did early on. I don't know if it was when we talked about small comforts or things. I don't remember. This has been going on for so long now. And I said, I try to either have my hair look good or at least do a little bit of makeup each day so that it's just not no makeup, no hair, like catching a glimpse of myself in the mirror and right. looking like I just rolled out of bed. I think I've abandoned that. I mean, my hair is never, that ever is done. Funny. It's summer. It's hot. My hair is in yep. a top knot every day or it's frizzy. And I put mascara on sometimes and that's pretty much it. Mascara and sunscreen. And many days I don't even wear mascara. And this is, I'm talking about the last month, you know, we've been moving, getting ready to move. So yeah, I mean, when I do put on a little makeup, I feel good. It's a good pick me up, but I just haven't been doing it. I just have really fallen off and that's okay too.
Yeah.
But mascara has been the bare minimum and I'm not even doing that every day. So how about you?
Well, it's funny that you should ask. For a little while, I mean, I'm just in the habit of slapping powder and mascara on every day. So I don't think that changed in the beginning. Then it started to fade. And then it got to the point, I remember telling someone, I went to pick up takeout and I was like, I put on mascara for you because it was like, I had no other. So like if I would go to the grocery store or go, it felt like an event and I would do my hair and all that stuff. But I was just laughing. I think I wrote about this on Facebook last week or 2 weeks ago, how I used to be the kind of person, I don't get dressed to the nines to go to the grocery store, but I would never like go someplace in workout clothes or with, unless it was like a cute athleisure wear outfit. Like I wouldn't walk into the store in like a tank and, you know, running shorts or something, or with my hair undone or with no makeup on at all. I would always at least brush my hair and look semi-presentable. And I was saying that the mask has made me feel like so anonymous that I will go to the store dirty. Like I'll be like gardening and just slap my mask on, go to the store, hair all crazy all over the place. And I feel like no one can see me or like no one will recognize me. But then I had this conversation with Jenna about this the other day. And she said, she said her checkout, her cashier at the store had really pretty eyes over the mask. And then she thought to look at herself when she got in her car to see, like, because she realized how important your eyes are when you're most of your face is covered. And she was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
I look tired. I got to do something. So that made me think like, oh my gosh, if I'm going to be wearing my mask, I really got to put something on my eyes because that's all anybody can see.
Yeah.
And so I do feel like it's different. I sent you a picture the other day, Sarah, and I don't do a lot of video Zoom calls, but I did have one planned. And because it's summer, I've been in the pool a lot and I often put off like my exercise or whatever until whenever I can get around to it. And I don't want to put makeup on and then have it run all over my face because I'm in the pool. So instead of putting mascara on, I wore big earrings and lipstick.
I think that worked.
I felt like that made it look, it made it look like I was put together, even though I was wearing my swimsuit under a kimono. And like, it looks kind of like a tank, like a camisole under a tank or under a kimono. But I was definitely like dressed to go to the pool during this call. And that kind of made me laugh because it's just different right now. Summer is always different for me. As soon as I have a little bit of a tan on my face, I kind of start letting go of feeling like it's just a more casual lifestyle. And I start letting go of feeling like I have to be made up every day. But it's also because it's pandemic times, I don't really have any reason to break that. Like I don't have a reason to get up at 9 a.m. and put makeup on because I'm going somewhere. So it's been a little... been kind of all over the place, I will say.
And I think we talked about this in another pandemic related episode, but it's not unusual for me to decide to put mascara on at like 2 o'clock and be like, well, I just want to look different in the mirror for myself and I'm not going anywhere, but I feel like, you know, so it, we've lost our morning structure, a lot of us. I mean, I do think there's a self-care aspect to it and like a little ego boost aspect to it when you like the way you look in the mirror each day. It doesn't have to come from makeup, but it's one way. So I've definitely
it's one way, one of many, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You'll get back on.
I will. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And just a reminder that our Facebook community is a great place to continue discussions about fun topics like these with other listeners. It's so much fun to see the conversations that happen in that group. So you can search for the Mom Hour Listener Community on Facebook, or we'll link it up in the show notes as well. And there's a few questions when you join. We just want to make sure you're actually a listener of the show. There's plenty of Facebook groups for moms and motherhood chatter. And this one's specifically for people who listen to the podcast. So be sure to answer those questions and then we'll approve you right away.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what makeup memories and recommendations you all have to share in that group. So yeah, join up and have a great week and we'll talk to you soon.